Welcome to Lightning Bug, a celebration of grassroots progressive politics in rural Pennsylvania. We stand for the protection of all people, the environment, and the rights enshrined in our Constitution. We support an informed citizenry and equal opportunity for all to achieve the American dream. We as constituents will hold our elected officials accountable. We are committed to equality, inclusion, acceptance, and fairness. We are lights in the night. We are hope for our future. We are not alone. We are Lightning Bug. Welcome, everyone, to Lightning Bug. I'm Dwayne Heisler.
And I'm Jessica Britton. And today on Lightning Bug, Dwayne, we have some special guests.
Yes.
Yay, special guests. Oh, I'm fantastic. How are you?
Wonderful.
I look great. Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you
You're
too.
Such a liar.
This
is an audio. This is an audio medium, so that works out super, super well.
Well, the tuxedo you're wearing is amazing.
I got dressed up for this today because I knew we had special guests. And that's important. So, in our studio, studio here, we have Tony Bell.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Tony. How are you?
Oh, having a good day.
That's good. Tony's also in a tux, just for everybody who is curious. We all got dressed up.
Tux on the top, jeans on the bottom.
Nice.
I like to do it both
nice.
Ways. Yeah.
So, Tony is on the town council here in Bloomsburg,
yep.
And she is a... Bloomsburg University chemistry professor. So we're very excited to have you here.
Yeah. Thank
you.
Glad to be here. 16 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't think I knew
that. Teaching chemistry to the masses up at Bloomsburg University, and then another 5 years before that, the University of Louisville, let me say it like other people say it. in Louisville, we say Louisville. But outside of there, we have to say Louisville because then people don't understand what you're saying.
Got it.
So another 5 years, so I've been teaching chemistry longer than most of my students have been alive.
Wow.
Which... boggles my mind.
We're so glad to have you here, Tony.
I'm glad to be here. Yes. Thank you.
And speaking of people who are young, we also have Nathan Lund, who is the field director for the Denny Wolf campaign. Hi, Nathan. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for being young.
Oh,
we
yeah,
appreciate
definitely.
That.
I try.
It's really helpful if you ask our friend Taylor. We usually just expect the young person to solve all the problems.
Yeah, that
so
sounds fine.
So welcome.
Yeah, definitely.
And when Taylor
no
falls
pressure.
Short, you know, we let him know.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You
know. So if, like,
yeah.
We will be keeping score.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm not here representing the Denny Wolf campaign, but I am actually here representing all of millennials. So
excellent.
It's
oh, my
perfect.
Gosh.
That is
yeah.
so convenient.
They elected me.
That is so handy.
Yeah. Exactly.
You have to play to your strengths. You
yeah.
Know, the
Taylor will be thrilled that we're letting him off the hook for a little while.
Perfect.
So we appreciate you being here. Okay, so where are we going with this, Dwayne?
Yeah, so Tony, we were talking last week. We did our episode, which was called Origins.
Yes.
And Jess and I shared our personal stories. And just to back up a little bit, two episodes ago, we talked about how important our personal stories are and how we are individuals made up of our stories. But in terms of looking at why we are where we are now and what brought us to that point, Jess and I shared some stories for ourselves. And the main thing was looking at how they're rooted in values. And when you come to that point in your story where a critical decision is made and it is empowering. And I think that that's important for people to hear when they're getting involved in this kind of work, maybe for the first time of doing progressive work, doing campaign work or whatever it might be, standing up for democracy within their own community. So now that I've said all of that, we want to hear your story.
I'm not getting flag waving.
Yes, that's right. So tell
God bless America.
Yeah. Tell us what your story is. How did you get to where you are now in this moment of the work on the town council and your work with Indivisible?
I never would have imagined, you know, a year and a half ago that this is where, or, you know, in January of 2000, before January of 2017. That this is the kind of stuff that I would be doing. And I think a lot of us can share that we did not envision that this is what we would be doing at that point in time.
Right.
Right after the Women's March started to come into being, that was going to happen, I said, oh, I'm going. I'm totally going. And I signed myself up for a bus ride down to D.C. And so I went to the Women's March, and I was feeling this great sense of community even though we were packed in like sardines, shoulder to shoulder, literally.
Indeed.
And, yes. But nobody was rude. It was just an amazing, uplifting experience. But with so many people there, I could not see any of the jumbotrons or hear any of the speeches whatsoever. But I still had a wonderful, uplifting experience sitting out on the National Mall with my March buddies. And so the next day when I got home, I spent 7 hours watching the speeches that I didn't get to see.
Oh, right.
And as part of those speeches, Michael Moore, among a few others, talked about how the way that we get politicians who are worthy of representing the people is by starting at the local level. And he specifically said that anyone and everyone should run for office. There should not be local offices that go unfilled. People should be, you know, filling those. And he said, even if you're the most reserved, shy person, there's a position for you. There's an office that you can fill at your local level that nobody else, you know, has signed up for. And so he said, so, you know, quit sitting on the sidelines, become active, and you can do this. You can do this. And I thought, well, I'm not the most shy person in the world, but I never had any confidence in that this is something I'd want to do. I haven't yet never even thought this is something I wanted to do before then. And so at that moment, I thought, okay, I can do this. I can make my community better by becoming a public servant, you know, in the Bloomsburg area. And so actually, I talked with it with my husband a little bit, and I never need his permission, but I like his, you know, I like his blessing
and support. Because
he's my partner, and it's important that he's part of this. And so then actually the second person I talked about it was actually you, Dwayne. And
I was number two.
That's because I know that you were the most person I was familiar with that knew the political lay of the land.
Okay.
And kind of knew me a little bit and my background a little bit. And so I had talked to you, I can't remember if it was by text or by phone, and I said, I'm interested in running for public office, and, you know, so what do you think? And Dwayne said, you should run for town council. And I'm like, okay, that's not what I had envisioned. I had envisioned running for some little office where you work in kind of a corner office filing papers or something. I thought, okay, I'll think about this. And I thought about this. And then I went to some town council meetings to see what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt right at home because I've been working in an academic environment for 2 decades. And so I'm very used to committee work and doing the mundane work of making sure an organization or community runs.
Yeah.
And I don't mind doing that work. Actually, I thrive in that kind of work, pushing, you know, making sure the ordinances are where they're supposed to be, as you know, like university policies, making sure they're where they need to be, and listening to people about their concerns and things like that. So I thought that would be right at home for me. And so the next thing you know, I'm at pizza and petitions and off and running. And Vince DeMelfi was a tremendous help in helping me learn how to campaign. And Jill Carlson, they were amazing. I couldn't have done it without, because I had no idea.
Yes, yeah, so Vince DeMelfi is the chair of the Columbia County Democratic Committee. And Jill Carlson is the vice chair, but also she's a principal in Indivisible, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you began your work with Indivisible. And so, you know, it's so amazing that, like you said, these positions are there. And many times they are vacant. There are openings in small communities and townships. I happen to be the Locust Township auditor.
Right.
Like it was an open spot, and you know, so I put in a little bit of time and did that, you know. So there are these spots, and it's wonderful because once you do them, your eyes open.
Yeah.
Right? Like wow, I can do this work. I'm able to contribute. I can help move this community forward with some thought and making sure that I'm listening to the people, like
mm-hmm.
what you just said,
that's
and
important.
Somehow then bringing that through the work that you do on the council. So
I feel right at home there. I have a wonderful, the other council members have been wonderful to work with, and you know, and we have what, 2 Republicans and the rest of us are Democrats. And so, but even then there's no party divide at town council. And
which
so that's
nice.
What I think is super
yeah.
wonderful, because then I get to know people and I get to talk to people with other opinions, other political opinions as well, that, you know, And learn how to work with people who have a very different perspective than I do. And so I think it's been really wonderful.
Jessica, you went to the Women's March too.
I did.
So did I. Were you on the bus though?
I was on one, there
was a dumb bus.
Three buses.
And then there were a couple different organization buses. I went on the one that went out from the university.
Which is kind of amazing that we had three buses coming from the small community of
Williamsburg.
It
really was, yeah. And they were all full, like all full. I think we had waiting lists, so that was great. Wow. And I can just say, like, Tony, you and I didn't know each other a year and a half ago. You know what I mean? And I am so glad that I've gotten to know you and so many other people who are doing such good work. And it, you know, just makes me really proud to see how far your campaign went, and you one, you know, did extremely well, and you're doing such great work for the town. I couldn't vote for you because I don't live within the town limits, but I told everybody that I know
to
vote for you I know you're a dedicated person, and then you will not take that position for granted.
Yeah, I don't shy away from work, and I don't, you know.
No, I take it very seriously. Homework. Like, I couldn't imagine. Yeah. You're a scientist, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. Like, you do your homework. It's not something that it's just like, well, this feels like the right answer.
No, I go out and investigate things, and I talk to people, and I ask questions,
so refreshing.
Yeah, ask questions and listen to people, and try to make decisions based on evidence, because that's who I am. I'm a scientist, and that's how we
are. Right, and as a Bloomsburg University alumni, and Dwayne, I hope you know you feel this way as well, but it's so nice to see the university also having a voice, you know, with you being on there, and you're trying to get students motivated to vote and do that, and like that's just, it's so important.
There was a time years ago where we did have more involvement with professors on campus and staff actually running for positions and being involved more with the town, and then we kind of went through this period where there wasn't so much of that.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to see that that's kind of opened back up again, because that's the key to this community surviving, is having, you know, the principal players in it in terms of the town itself, the university, the hospital, Geisinger, you know, all these different players involved with it. So there was also something we have to acknowledge today too, the flood wall. So Bloomsburg is one of the largest communities along the Susquehanna River that still floods. Most of the other communities have some kind of flood protection, but we end up occasionally with a third of our town underwater, which has really hurt us economically, as you can imagine, and all these things that we've been working and working and working over the years. And you've helped to bring us to this point now where we're at, where we're actually, today is a special day. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that.
Actually, yeah, I had very little to do with it because I just started in January, but
Got us the flood wall. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Wait, Tony built the wall.
Tony built the wall. Yeah.
Her name's going on.
Yeah, you heard your name's going on.
In my picture.
We understand.
Yeah, I got that. We understand. I know some vandals.
But I had very little. There was a lot of players that had a lot of that put in a lot of work in the backbone behind this, and including some of our politicians who represent local areas. You know, Senator Gordner and Representative Millard, and a number of people who put in a lot of work to do that. And then of course our fine local government folks who've all worked very hard, and then previous councils. You know, also put in a lot of.
So what did we actually get?
And so today, they announced officially, I think it was 11 o'clock this morning, I want to say, they announced that we received the funding from the state to build the levee.
And how much money is that?
Oh, it was, oh gosh.
20, 30 bucks.
Yeah. 20, yeah. Enough to hire a bunch of kids to build ditches and dig.
It's really small.
Oh gosh, I want to say... Oh, I don't even want to spitball.
No, it's okay. It's all right. I'll look it up. I was looking at the Press Enterprise this morning, which is our local paper.
We just got the
$10 million.
$10 million. Okay, and so I think it was about $14 million total because we also got some other monies. Okay. So I think it was roughly $14 million total to build the levee. To protect the south end of town.
I see they quoted Senator Casey on it too. In the front page, it says Bloomsburg Project Extension will shield homes, sewer plants. Senator Casey says.
Yep.
So yeah, it has been a real effort to get that going, and we couldn't have our podcast today without acknowledging the fact that
that's absolutely right.
And we recently got some funding as well from the Wolf administration to do some sidewalks too. Was that
$1.2 million, $1.4 million, something along those lines.
Sidewalks on that.
To do sidewalk down east to Poplar from 2nd Street down to Fort McClure. Okay. Boulevard. And so between 2nd Street and about 7th Street, the sidewalks are in fairly decent shape. I imagine there'll be some, like, you know, making sure that they're not buckled and things like that.
Right.
I don't know. They may tear it out and put about, probably not. But I think the focus of the new construction will be from about 7th Street on down towards Fort McClure. A large strip of that, especially across from the Kinnear plant, all the way down toward Town Park Village, there's no sidewalks.
The whole
village is without sidewalk, and there's no way. And there are kids at the daycare down there have summer camp at the daycare. And my younger son went to day camp there. And so to get to Town Pool, they would have to walk on this path through the woods. And the mosquitoes would just eat up my child, because he's delicious, apparently, from mosquitoes. And they would eat up my child, and they would have to walk in this path, this kind of a dirt path through the woods to get to town.
Yeah.
But now they'll have sidewalks, and so people can also make it, it makes Bloomsburg a lot more walkable. And I think Bill Kreischer is also a big push behind that.
Who's on town council as well.
And then I'm also, because I walk all over town, I walk over town more than I drive over it.
Right.
Really for a walkable Bloomsburg. It makes a friendly Bloomsburg and a more welcoming Bloomsburg. So we'll have sidewalks all the way down there, so you'll be able to walk. I'll be able to walk to the park more easily down that way.
So this is a lot of local news that we're doing right here, but we're kind of taking advantage of you being here, Tony. And one other thing I want to be sure to plug is that we have a town pool that really needs funding. And so we've raised about $60,000.
I think roughly
$60,000, I think, at this point. We need about $200,000. And so it's really important for our community to come together. And if anyone's willing to help with that, to help raise funds, to do fundraisers, to have that front and center. So
if anyone wants to donate $140,000, that'd be great. So if you've got some, you have your couch cushions.
Ungrateful child who doesn't want to go to college, you know, you would rather give that money towards. I'm kidding. We and then I know that I think the Town Pool Renovations Committee is planning on another bingo in the fall.
Good.
Okay. And so they're continually working. Those folks are working very hard to.
Is there a website or something where someone can go, or is there a donation?
I think there's a. Facebook page, I think.
Okay.
The Town Pool Renovations Committee.
Okay, we'll look up that Facebook page so people can go and visit that. That'll be good. Okay, now let's switch gears completely on this. We're talking about good government here, good local government, and also being responsible and stepping up when the call is. And I can't think of something that's more waffled, that's more opposite, right, of that than the statements by Roseanne Barr. So I'm going to really move us all the way to national news. Because this just happened, and this is where we're at. So Roseanne Barr, you might recall, quite a number of years ago. I'm not going to guess.
Yep.
She sang the national anthem, grabbed her crotch and spit, and well, she didn't really sing at all, right? She just kind of like screamed the
yelled,
thing.
Yelled, I think is the word.
She's a comedian that gets up there and does that kind of thing. And I remember at that point, the conservative. In the country, were so outraged of the desecration and the crotch grabbing was really something that got them.
A lot of pearl clutching.
They were so upset about this. And I think that more liberal people were kind of like, well, you hired a comedian to do this. You didn't even ask if she could sing or not. What did you expect? What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
And so we saw exactly what could go wrong. It was a pretty rough moment for us there. And fast forward now to just the past, 24, 48 hours. And a statement was made in regard to Valerie Jarrett, who is formerly a member of the Obama administration.
Senior advisor to President Obama, had a very, very high level position.
There was this conspiracy conversation that was going on Twitter. That was the context of it.
Of course.
And
there was.
Valerie Jarrett was mentioned in it. And then that was when our esteemed Roseanne Barr tweeted, "The Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby equals VJ Valerie Jarrett."
Yeah.
And how about if I just throw that out there to the group and we can talk? Now, since then, there's been comments by the CEO of, the show's been canceled, comments by the CEO of Disney, Bob Iger, also President Trump now has weighed in too. So we'll get to that, but.
Yeah, so Disney owns ABC for anyone who's not, just familiar with that affiliation. So that's where Disney comes in, because Disney owns.
They own everything.
What does Disney
now.
Not own?
Everything. My heart and soul.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, seriously. Yeah.
They're working on it.
I love me some Mickey Mouse. Right. But that's where that comes in. I don't know. Tony, what you got? No.
How could somebody think that was nearly appropriate in any context.
Yeah.
I think part of how that has come to be acceptable is that you look at the upper echelons of society where we were supposed to look for moral guidance, and that's really lacking anymore.
Yep.
There's a dearth of moral characters. I mean, you go all the way to the top, the president.
Absolutely.
And if he had made this comment, we wouldn't have batted an eyelash. Things like that are said regularly
by him.
This
is his default.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's really hard to be outraged at something like this. Why are we holding people to higher standards than the president of the United States?
And that's an excellent question. Yeah. Why are we doing that?
Why are we doing that?
I don't know.
Because somebody has to, and you know, and if we're to tell our children, and we preach anti-bullying to our children,
mm-hmm.
and we have active anti-bullying programs at our schools, starting at kindergarten and all the way up through, and if you preach anti-bullying to children, you have to have some examples of notable adults who don't condone that and who actively work against that. And we don't have that at the presidential level.
Right.
And that's,
now,
I'm afraid, just very frightening.
She apologized for her racist comments, right? And she took it down right away. But, of course, that's not enough.
Internet is forever.
Yeah, how about it? Now, but let me say that after that didn't work, then a few hours later she talks about how she was on Ambien. So it's almost like...
Yeah, which, by the way, apparently the drug manufacturer are like, oh, no.
No,
do not get us involved.
Can Ambien make racist remarks?
Yeah,
is that
is not...
Side effect?
I think lots of
warning
people...
Warning can cause this, and racism.
They were like, no, we're out. Don't get us involved in your nonsense, which I thought was... smart on their part, but also what a ridiculous excuse. Like, give me a break. Would anyone buy that? I mean, somebody probably would, but the people who are upset that her show got canceled.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't think she's funny, so that's just me.
Right, so you were never a fan of her.
No.
But I mean, there were people who were fans of the show, and I think it is important to separate that, because it's possible people are feeling attacked because they were fans of the show.
Yeah.
I like the original Roseanne show.
It
was good.
It,
it was actually somewhat progressive in some of the things that it espoused. You can be a fan of media, the things that are produced by people, and not be a fan of the person who created it. And I think that that's perfectly fine. And if we don't leave room for that, then we're going to alienate a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
look
how sad this is for the staff, all the jobs that are going to be lost from that.
Right.
You know, all the other, her co-stars, and
people who don't endorse that idea.
There was a producer, and I apologize. I don't know. I don't remember his name, but I did see that there was a producer of other shows who did offer jobs to, I know, at least some of the actors who would be getting, would be losing their jobs. So I thought that was commendable, and hopefully you see a little bit more of that, because like you mentioned, there is fallout for people other than her.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so then you get Trump's interjection into it. So apparently he took issue with the fact that the CEO of Disney or of ABC said, that contacted Valerie Jarrett and said, hey, I apologize. This is not something that should have been said on our network, and made an apology for the racist statement. So then Trump interjects himself and says, hey, you know what? No one's ever apologized to me for all the horrible, in caps, he tweeted this, all the horrible statements made and said about me on ABC, because he needs to interject himself. What a child. I mean,
unreal.
Seriously.
Well, and I mean, I'm going to take point on this because I have two things to say about that. One of which is that, when has he ever apologized for anything that he has ever said, including saying that the first African American president was not born in this country?
Right.
So that, like, just, and it goes back to the racism and, all of the other things that he's built this platform on. But also, we don't really know, in what context he's saying this. Is he talking about ABC News? Because that's not, the news doesn't apologize for reporting, or Jimmy Kimmel, who had the audacity to come out and say that children need health insurance when the Trump administration and Congress was trying to take those things away. So, I mean, it just, give me a break.
What's also kind of interesting about that idea is just that why are the proponents of free speech suddenly against companies who are saying that, oh, we don't want to be associated with this if it's going to reflect poorly on our companies? When did it become a Republican ideal for politicians to tell companies what to do?
Yeah.
I thought we weren't supposed to do that.
Right.
Yeah, that's to not interfere with business.
Yeah. So how about you just let the CEOs and the presidents of companies who think that it's going to reflect poorly on them, let them do what they think is in their best business interests.
Well, and any free market capitalist will say, hey, the business has to make the best decision for what's profitable
exactly.
And all that. So
regardless
there's a double standard there.
It's
going to
hurt people's feelings in the White House. That shouldn't be a factor in business
decisions.
What
doesn't hurt people's feelings in the White House? Give me a break.
Are we conservatives? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my. Bridge too far?
Wow. I don't know.
So, Nathan, I'm curious what your thoughts are in terms of, like, the millennial perspective, since you are and have self-identified as the person solely
responsible
for the...
I mean, that's not from me. That's from all of millennials.
Sure.
They put me in this position.
Yeah, they're actually all downstairs waiting for you to...
Yeah, I know.
It's weird that they go everywhere with you.
I know. It's kind of weird, but can you blame them?
No, I mean, you're super cool. I get it.
Right. Yeah, it's understandable. Everybody needs their posse.
It's the tuxedo.
Right, exactly.
It is.
Unlike Tony, I'm wearing a denim jacket, but I have tuxedo pants on. So, you know.
It was
there
a mix and mesh thing.
There is a set.
It's nice.
Yeah. Dwayne's wearing a ball gown.
It's very elegant.
My ball gown. I had to dust this thing off this morning.
Oh, it's fine. From last night when you wore it the last time.
Yeah, well, it got dirty.
Yeah,
you know,
that's fine.
So I get it.
So for the millennial perspective on this, I guess I'd have to say that it's almost a bygone or like a foregone conclusion that political correctness is something that we accept. It's not this boogeyman that everybody talks about. It's just respecting people.
We have this
false equivalency that I want to caution people against, though, where everything that's politically incorrect is equal. That's just not the case.
Yes.
And when we do that, we alienate people, because I'm all about bridging boundaries between people. When you don't identify with someone politically, you can normally find a place where you still identify. And it's common to go around and hear people saying, well, what can I say anymore? Like, what is appropriate?
Right.
And that's a real concern. And it has become such that it's hard to navigate that. We feel like we're walking on eggshells. And if we just say that we have to be dismissive of that concern because those people are automatically on this level of Roseanne, then we're alienating all those people. We need to be able to discuss it. We need to be able to say, like, what is acceptable when you're talking about things like rape culture and whether, like, jokes regarding that are acceptable ever, whether, like, certain ones are because they're going against power structures, that those are conversations worth having. And if we're not willing to, then millennials turn off.
Right. Yeah. We get nowhere.
They want to have input into it. I want to have input into it. I don't want to just hear from on high that this is unacceptable. I want to know why. Why is it? Defend your position. I think that this statement is pretty obviously unacceptable because it's harkening back to so many racist things from the past. And it's really easy for us to preach to the choir here and just say, it's easy to tell when things are inappropriate, but it's not always.
No.
So we need to leave these discussions open, and we need to be honest in them.
Well, and I would say just in a slight addition to that, you know, there is also... typically, hopefully, a difference between what you would say to someone or about someone on social media as compared to what you would say to their face. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where that there's that supposed barrier that, you know, on social media where you're like, well, I didn't say it to her.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or I didn't do that. And I think that's a really important conversation moving forward as well. And when we are seeing, again, going back to the Trump situation, someone at the highest level setting such a bad example of that, where it's like, okay, let's get back to having a one-on-one conversation about these things. And is that something that you would feel comfortable saying?
Right.
Or is it something that you would feel comfortable hearing if you were on the other side of it? And just that back and forth is how we can make progress.
Exactly. And I think what's even more important going forward is that we have to realize that these things that are said are terrible and they're disgusting, but you have to look at the mentality that informs it and the actions that follow it. Because when you have these kind of ideologies, it informs your policymaking.
Sure.
So we have to look at things like disenfranchisement and different things like that, where these mentalities get legs. And yeah. and if we're going to have outrage, we need to give those legs too.
Yeah.
We can't just complain about things, make our tweets and our Facebook posts saying how terrible it is.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can accept that. That's not going to make any difference.
Yeah.
When people who think these same things that Roseanne does are making policy decisions, that's what's more problematic, because then you're dealing with things like access to healthcare, to housing, to employment opportunities.
It's the foundation of a whole system,
right?
Unfortunately,
and when they're speaking what's truly in their mind, we need to see it for what it is. That's how they really think,
right?
Ambien or not.
Yeah. Poor Ambien. I've never thought I'd be standing up for a big pharma.
Yeah, there's certain words.
No.
There's certain words and phrases that don't just pop out of you just randomly.
Yeah,
there has to be something already in there, mm-hmm. unlike you know certain four-letter words that might pop out of me randomly that have nothing to do with anything, mm-hmm. you know, other than I stubbed my toe or
I
tripped over a crap in the
side. I may or may not do the same thing.
Do the same thing, but
occasionally.
But those, you know, those words are directed at that. And
not right.
Right. So, so that was a good discussion about that. I think that's interesting. And thank you, Nathan. That's mm-hmm. that's really helpful, I think, for people that are listening and thinking about how they kind of where they stand in all of this and what where we go from here, really, like what's before us, with keeping some of those things in mind. And keeping that in mind, we talked about local politics, and we talked about a little bit about national news. Sadly, it's about Roseanne Barr.
Mm-hmm.
But on a state level, I just wanted to kind of bring up, and maybe these are two little short commercial plugs here. We have Harrisburg Days of Action, Standing Up for Working People, on June 11th and June 12th in Harrisburg. June 11th, we're going to be joined by the Poor People's Campaign, which we've talked about on this broadcast before.
Yes.
They're doing such great things in Harrisburg. At 2 o'clock, they're meeting on the steps of the Capitol to demand dignity for working people, which works very well with the union work.
Mm-hmm.
SEIU, I know, is very involved with this. Overnight, there's going to be a vigil, Can't Stop, Won't Stop, a workers' vigil that really talks about how we need to prepare for working people. We need to build collective power around working people, and this will help to lift people out of the hunger and homelessness and the consequences of poverty. And then June 12th is a big day. At 10:30, there's a check-in. There's going to be kind of a rolling lunch at Grace Methodist Church on 216 State Street. And there's going to be support there throughout the day. At 12 o'clock, they begin legislative visits, so we can actually go up on the Capitol and visit with our legislators to tell them how important it is that we have, that America needs unions. And this is one of the things that can help lift us up out of poverty. There's going to be a rally at the Rotunda at 1:30. That rally at the Rotunda is going to be a press conference as well. And then the legislative visits continue at 2:30. And if someone's interested in any and all of that, just send me a message, DwayneHeisler@gmail.com. And if you plan on coming down, we might even be able to get a box lunch for you. So on the 12th, that's specifically for the 12th. It's the 11th and the 12th, June 11th and 12th, Standing Up for Working People in Harrisburg. And the other item I wanted to mention was DemFest.
Yay, DemFest!
Yay! Woo!
Yeah.
DemFest. So, at our favorite place, Knoebels Grove Amusement Park in Elysburg, Pennsylvania.
I love that place.
Isn't it amazing?
Mm-hmm. I love that place.
I just got finished posting some things on Facebook and Twitter about it, some photos of the park. It is a wonderful family park. It's all nestled underneath the trees. It's really unlike any other park that I've ever been to.
It's just one of my favorite places, and we're so lucky to have it in this area.
We really are. It's great for I know I live very close to the park, so when
yes.
people come to visit, we'll sometimes take a walk through it.
I like it over the other big amusement parks we have in this part of the state. Because you can pay per ride with tickets.
Yes.
Right.
And you get discount tickets at the local supermarket. And we're also going to have discount tickets
at DemFest.
But I like it because you can do that. Because my family, we're not big roller coaster riders. And
yeah.
we're not big, most of us, my husband is, but most of us, we're not big into like the big thrill rides.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the carousel. That's mm-hmm. one of my favorite. I have no shame. I will get up on the horse on the carousel and try
yeah.
to catch the rings.
Yep.
That's one of the few brass ring carousels that are still in the United States.
And you can go do that, and it's very reasonable price.
And that you don't have to pay for admission. It, yep. Just in general, I
or
know.
Or parking.
Yeah, I know.
Whoa.
When I was a kid,
you didn't know that.
I've actually never been to Knoebels.
What?
I know. I know. All right. Demfest is
going
to be my
We're
first
We're wrapping
time.
Up. We're going right now. I want some ice cream. This is perfect.
I mean, it's a good part. I used to work in Elysburg at, mm-hmm. At a company in Elysburg, and when things were going really bad, the clerical chair, our apartment, or the
guy,
woman.
Oh, good.
Bonnie would come
Figures.
Over to me. And,
That's better.
Yes. Yeah, well, she was one of the managers. She'd come over to me. It's like, Dwayne, it's one of those days. I'm like, do you want to go? She said, yes. And so we'd get in my car, we'd drive like 5 minutes, go to the park, and jump on the Phoenix roller coaster and scream, and then go back to the office, and everything was good.
Right. And you can do that. You can go because there's no
right.
And if you don't want to, you can go down there and be entertained all day long because they have bands and perform. That's and you awesome. Don't have to pay anything. You sit there and
you can be in a show. At the little stage, so it's usually for kids, but, you know, you're super young, we've already gone over this, so maybe you could
I'm actually only about six, I'll be seven this year, but I count as a millennial,
He's not tall enough to ride all the rides,
but I can ride some.
Yeah.
So the date for DemFest is June 30th, it's from 11 o'clock until 2 o'clock. At tent number 6, which can fit 500 people. We have a group that's coming called Vine and Ale. Hops and Vines. I'm sorry, I was thinking of something else. Mm-hmm. Hops and Vines, which is a wonderful group that we have. So free entertainment. There are tickets for the traditional lunch. You're talking hamburgers, hot dogs, picnic, you know, baked beans, that kind of thing, for $10 only. So that's a deal.
And you can buy those in advance, right? You can start buying them
that's
now.
That's right. Yeah, if you look at if you look up DemFest 2018 on Eventbrite, you can get your tickets online.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Or search out DemFest PA on Facebook. There's also an event there that you can order tickets that way.
Excellent.
So tickets are on sale now for it, which is great. We're also going to have some guest speakers, which are going to be very inspirational, and I can't name them yet. But it looks like those are lining up perfectly well.
We'll twister.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
You guys, it's going to be me.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm kidding.
And those discount tickets, you can get them right under the tent. You don't have to wait in any lines. Mm-hmm. You can just get them and run through the park. And so that's what a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. They get there 11 or 12. They have the lunch. They hear some of the speakers. They listen to some music. And then they take off for the park and just have a great day. And it's a great day. I mean, think about it. I mean, when have we ever done anything political that takes place at an amusement park, campground, water park?
Sheer fun.
I know, just sheer fun, right?
And it is fun. The discount tickets can be also be used for refreshments in the park as well.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. So when you get those discount tickets, it could be either for rides or for refreshments.
And the refreshments are already very value priced for... If you've been to other amusement parks, you can pay, you know, like a ridiculous amount of money. But
so
Knoebels,
affordable
we sound
to
like
take
a Knoebels commercial.
We are.
But it's so good. I mean,
and,
it really is.
And because
nice
we really like resource. It, we're being open and honest without being paid by Knoebels. So
we should work on that, though. They probably could pay
Maybe
us.
Maybe they
something.
Will sponsor us.
I would accept payment in the form of the pizza and ice cream. So
wait,
I'm just throwing
that
out there. They don't.
What
they
else
don't.
Do they have?
They don't. Be honest.
Oh,
now,
they have other things
you have
as
to say
well.
It, Jess.
I can't.
I'll ring the bell.
Shouldn't our guests
oh,
say
yeah.
it?
Go ahead. I heard they have chicken and waffles.
I would just like our listeners to know that the bell has gotten remarkably close to the side of my head.
We wanted to give you the
which
opportunity.
Great. Makes it very loud, and that is very cool. So
we had a little bit of a discussion, and yes, indeed, it is on the menu there. So if you've never heard of chicken and waffles, you can get it at the Alamo, which is a restaurant that's actually located in the park. And if you, like Jess always does, you can get it to go. So it's right in, the Sucking Pig is right outside of there.
Or the Alamo's in there, and the Alamo's air conditioned. So if
which
you're
is
in
nice.
The park, you can go in there.
Very
cool.
Nice. So
nice.
When you go there, just remember the Alamo.
Good one. Good one.
Okay, so we've had a lot of fun here.
Lackluster ringing of the bell.
So our time is really up. So today we talked about local politics, and thank you so much, Tony, for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm so glad, and you're welcome anytime on Lightning Bug. And Nathan, once again, thank you so much. Yeah. It's great to hear you speak on behalf of all millennials.
Right, exactly. And, yeah. I'll come back and do it anytime.
Good, wonderful. Definitely. Great, fantastic. Perfect. The invitation is open for you. So we had the discussion of local politics. We talked about, yes, Roseanne Barr and the national dialogue around those racist remarks. And then we ended with actually some commercials and some discussion about the Standing Up for Working People's Days of Action in Harrisburg, June 11th and 12th, on the steps of the Capitol. Contact me if you'd like a box lunch on that Tuesday, June 12th, where we can stand with the Poor People's Campaign and lift people up in this state. It's a good cause. And then DemFest, which is June 30th. At Canoble's Grove Amusement Park. So once again, I want to thank you for tuning in. I have to say that we are lights in the night. We are hope for our future. We are certainly not alone. We are Lightning Bug.